Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word Deuteronomy, it's a Greek word, it's a compound word, literally means second law. Deutero, second, nomos, law. The book of Deuteronomy is a second telling of the law. The law that was given to the people of God through his prophet Moses. Moses retells what God has spoken through him, and then he connects it to all of the experiences that Israel has had over the last 40 years, beginning with their great exodus out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. The journey is about now to culminate. Moses has come to the end of his life, and they're on the brink of crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And Moses retells their experience. He retells it not as reminiscence. Oh, remember that time when we crossed over the Red Sea and it was dry, and then Israel's army came and the sea collapsed in on top of them? Wasn't that cool? Not as reminiscence at all. Moses retells the law as instruction on how you are now to live your life, and a reminder of what you are never to forget when you come into the Promised Land. He applies the law that they lived out in real time now, and based on their experience, they have learned more about what it means and how it applies to their daily life. The particular point before us this morning in our reading, assigned as our Old Testament text, has to do with the role of prophet in Israel. Through the 40 years in the wilderness, Moses was God's prophet to his people. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. Little help from his brother Aaron. And it went that way mostly because this is the way the people of Israel wanted it to go. They asked for it. They didn't want God to speak to them directly. That was way too frightening for them. It was at Mount Sinai, early on in the 40-year journey, that they heard God speaking to them directly from the mountaintop. And to them it was thunder and flashes of lightning and the sound of trumpet and the mountain smoking, and the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." This is what sin has done to us, folks. It's not like it used to be back in the garden when God spoke to us face to face. And for us, it was perfect peace. It was bliss. It was like talking to your best friend. Now to hear God speak to us directly is terrifying, even when it's just the angels who've been sent by God with an important message to deliver to his people at just the right time. The angels have to, before they can get their word across, they have to keep saying over and over again, "Fear not, do not be afraid." So listen, anyone who ever tells you that God is speaking to them directly, and for them it wasn't like holding on to the end of a high voltage wire, don't believe them. Because it probably wasn't God speaking to them, actually. Now here in the second telling, Moses tells Israel, "Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not again hear the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die,' the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken.'" It's not very often that we hear God actually commending his people, especially in the Old Testament, for getting it right. But here's a case where they got it right. They need someone to stand between them and God. Someone whom God will speak through to them. And it's right here that the office of the prophet is officially established in Israel. The office of prophet is not established by man. It is established by God for our sake, for our good. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, says the apostolic prophet named Peter. So here, Moses promises Israel that after he dies, not to worry. They're not going to have to listen to God directly. God's going to give them another prophet. They're not going to be left without a prophet. I will raise up a prophet for them like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Martin Luther calls this the most important passage in the whole book of Deuteronomy. After Moses, God would raise up a succession of prophets with names like Joshua and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Joel and Amos and lots, lots more. He would put his word into their mouth in the very mysterious way that we call holy inspiration. And the holy inspired prophets would speak God's word to the people. They'd begin by saying things like, "Thus saith the Lord." And they'd end by saying, "Declares the Lord." They'd announce God's divine favor on his people, saying, "Blessed are you." They'd announce God's curse on his people, saying, "Woe to you." And they would use the word repent a lot. The prophets were to speak all that I command him. They weren't to leave anything out. All that I command him includes a wide variety of issues, ranging from religion and theology, all the way to domestic, even economic, even dietary issues, even foreign affairs, even international policy. Some prophets would emphasize one issue, other prophets would emphasize another, each as God gave him to speak. But all of the prophets, in everything that they said, had this one thing in common. In everything that they spoke and taught, they pointed to the day when a Messiah, a Redeemer, would come to deliver his people from their sin and from hell and from the power of the devil. He will reconcile mankind to God so that once again we may hear God speak to us directly, without fear, in pure joy, perfect peace, like being with a best friend. He would be a prophet like Moses, not only a man like us in the flesh, someone we might call a friend, someone who might also say, "I call you my friends," but a prophet like Moses who also will deliver his people, just as Moses did in his deliverance of Israel from their captivity in Egypt. So this prophet who will be like Moses will deliver his people from their captivity into sin and death and bring them into the promised land, which he called heaven. It is to him that you shall listen. Of course, the flip side of God's promise to speak through the prophets was that the people had to agree to listen to them. "And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." To listen and to obey what the prophet had to say was to listen and obey to God himself. The two were one in the same. To disobey or ignore the prophet was to disobey and ignore God himself. And you'd have to stand before God in all of that, directly. And that was a frightening thing to think of. Throughout its history, this is precisely where Israel falls and fails. They refuse to listen to the prophets. They refuse to obey them. The Messiah, to whom the prophets all pointed, would one day lament that for all of his effort to warn them, they killed the prophets and stoned those sent to them. As often as he sent his servants into the vineyard, his tenants beat one, killed another, stoned another. And yet God never gave up. in his unfailing love, in his perfect mercy. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll send my son. Surely they will listen to him. And sure enough, one day, a 30-year-old man named Jesus from the village of Nazareth comes to a river named Jordan. And at his baptism, he is anointed into the office of prophet. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit himself. And as he is anointed, the heavens are ripped open and a voice is heard. It is the voice of God himself, who repeats those words that he had once spoken to Moses in the wilderness. Listen to him. When you hear Jesus speak and you listen and you do what he says and you follow him, you are hearing and obeying God himself. And when you ignore and refuse to follow him, you are ignoring and refusing God himself. And for that, you will have to face God directly, apart from Jesus. And that is a terrifying thing. Jesus Christ is the prophet of the Lord to whom all of the prophets of the Lord pointed. He is not just a great prophet, as the Muslims and others say. He is more than a prophet. For this is not a man who is given God's word to speak for God. This is God's word in its essence, who takes on humanity and dwells among us as one of us, as our brother. The writer to the Hebrews opens his letter saying, in many and various ways God spoke to us by the prophets of old, but now in these last days he speaks to us by his Son. The Son alone speaks face to face with the Father, not in fear, but in perfect joy and peace, for he has no sin. When he speaks, he never says, thus saith the Lord. He never concludes saying, declares the Lord. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, and I and the Father are one. And whoever honors the Son honors the Father, and whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. When the apostles, Peter and John, are in Jerusalem one day, a crippled beggar asks them for alms. Peter does even better, saying, I have no gold nor silver, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say, rise up and walk. And the man leaped up, stood, and began to walk. And when the crowds demanded an explanation for this, the apostle Peter, in perfect harmony with the prophets of old, pointed them to Jesus. And he does so by quoting Moses. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. That prophet is this prophet who enters the synagogue in Capernaum and began to teach the people in church that day. And they listened to him. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one who had authority, not as the scribes. One man in church that day was particularly astonished by his teaching, by his presence. What was hidden from the congregation under flesh and blood was plainly seen by this man, whom we are told had an unclean spirit. He cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? And it's that us that caught my attention. Either there are lots of unclean spirits in this man, or this man was speaking on behalf of the whole congregation when he says, have you come to destroy us? And so maybe he was the head elder. Maybe he's the president of the congregation. And the whole congregation is possessed by unclean spirits. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It was an idea long ago that you could get power over your adversary by naming him. The unclean spirit thinks that by demonstrating that he knows who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, that he will get control over Jesus by the word that he speaks. But in this congregation of unclean spirits, there is one who possesses the Holy Spirit, and that is Jesus. And in this contest between the one with the Holy Spirit and the ones with unclean spirits, it is no contest. The universe is not kept in balance by two equally opposing forces, the yin and the yang of life, as some say. The one with the Holy Spirit says to the ones with the unclean spirit, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsing the man and crying out with a loud voice, obeyed and came out. It was in a garden called Eden that an unclean spirit spoke to the woman, and she listened to the unclean spirit. And Adam was right next to her and said nothing. Now in this synagogue in Capernaum, where the unclean spirits have gotten a hold on the sons and daughters of Adam, a second Adam says what the first Adam should have said, "Be silent and come out of him." We are all born with an unclean spirit, just as we confess we are sinful and unclean. We are all fully possessed from the moment of conception, thoroughly convinced that the God who created us is our enemy and that he is out to destroy us, despisers of God's word. But a stronger voice has spoken up. A stronger voice has spoken into our captivity. In a most mysterious bath called holy baptism, we were washed, and what was unclean has become clean. And now we are possessed by a different spirit, the Holy Spirit, who cries out within us saying, "Listen to him." And to listen to him is our greatest desire. Amen.